tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Masters of Sax Recap, episode 8, Mirror Mirror. I am your host, Jenna Couture. Alongside me tonight, it's Bobby.
What's going on, Jenna? I'm just checking tweets right now. I saw I got a tweet from you earlier. How are you doing?
Good. It's just me and Bobby tonight. Everyone's like on vacation tonight, so.
Roy is in Vegas. Do you do Snapchat? Because Roya does Snapchat. Did you get all of her snaps?
I don't know how to use Snapchat. And I'm so embarrassed because I'm usually like technology savvy, but I don't know how to use Snapchat.
Viewers at home, if you know how to use Snapchat, I am at Bobby DeMuro. Just my name on Snapchat. You can snap me. I did that on Kardashians a few weeks ago.
You snap other people?
Yeah, you send Snapchats. You send pictures to people.
Can everybody see it though?
No. It's something you send. It's like a messaging service kind of for pictures.
Oh, okay.
It's great. Just my name, Bobby DeMuro. I did it on Kardashians a few weeks ago.
Okay,
got a
cool.
ton of Snapchats from people. It's awesome.
Oh, cool. Okay, I'm going to learn how to do Snapchats,
you
guys. And it's going to be Jenna Couture. And if that's not taken, Jenna M. Couture. So.
Well, there you go.
We'll just see about that. I'll be Snapchatting tonight. Okay, well, welcome tonight. Okay, so last week we missed Bobby and I were not here and we missed like a huge episode. So I just have to say there's like we're following a huge episode, and I feel like this week they kind of dropped a bunch of bombs on us last week and just fast forward the show and kept it moving, and it was a really fast show, and then they kind of slowed it down this time. So
Like they sped it up last week and everybody was so rocked by the time changes, the temporal changes, that this week they were like, okay, we'll slow down.
I know. It was so fast. It was so sudden. I was like, you guys, whoa.
Easy there. Easy,
whoa,
tiger.
Let's get into a pace together. Let's not be so quick. So we open the episode with Masters meeting with an old colleague, Francis, who's asking him for help. And we could visibly see that Masters was not wanting to stay with him long and wanted to kind of finish up the meeting and wanted to kind of end it, you know, like, hello, goodbye, and get him on his way. And Francis actually asked him for help with fertility. He was having, you know, fertility issues with his wife, and it looks like he was a little bit of a maybe a Gemini. I don't know. Like,
wow.
He was like all around town and getting around. I don't know. And so I'm just kidding, Bobby. Bobby's a good Gemini. And so I don't know, maybe.
Wow. Really? Are we really going back to that?
All right. And
wow.
So then immediately after it goes into, and so it just touched on that. And then it goes right into Virginia talking about their rejected subjects. So she rejected 167 subjects because we found out last episode, they were spending too much money on subjects who were, you know, premature ejaculators or men that were impotent. And so she tells him that's a large number.
Yeah, which is interesting.
That's a third of their study, they said.
I can't help but wonder, having never participated in a sexual study or had problems with either one of those things. Sorry, I'm just being honest. You can doubt me. But having never had problems with either one of those things, just being honest.
Yeah.
I can't help but wonder if part of those issues, both premature ejaculation and impotence, are caused by the study because it's a public thing. So maybe men get scared.
Like performance anxiety?
Performance anxiety.
Totally.
And granted, from Virginia's point, who cares if it's caused by the study or not? If you do this, we still can't use you.
Yeah,
But those are still major groups that are part of the study. And I guess Virginia's feeling is these are people who are giving us worthless results and we need to turn the results the other way. But it sure does exclude a lot of people.
Sure does. And I'm glad that they're kind of taking a second look at those files and seeing what they can do, because there is like those are some very serious issues that are still very prevalent till this day. And I know last week they were struggling with why Dr. Masters was seeing hookers in the alleyway. So we know that Masters hasn't slept with Libby or Virginia in over, you know, a year or a little more than that. And they were confused on that, why he was seeing a hooker. And it was because he is dealing with impotence, erectile dysfunction, ED, as one of our commenters on YouTube pointed out. And he...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Was trying to see if there was any way to fix it on his own, and he was testing it out with hookers because he was embarrassed to let Libby or Virginia know that he was having this issue. And so weird that this is happening, and I don't want to get ahead of it, but I'll talk about it more later.
Let me say something really quick about this, because I know this wasn't this week's story, but since we were both gone very quickly, this is where Bill's relationships, or lack thereof, bite him in the ass. Because Bill has been Bill has been cheating on Libby, obviously, with Virginia.
Yeah.
Bill and Virginia are in a weird relationship themselves. Yeah. Bill has a lot of unhealthy stuff going on with both the women in his life sexually. And guess what? When you go impotent, when something happens, you don't have anybody to turn to, and you did it to yourself. You treated Libby in a way, you treated Virginia in a way, and you deserve it. Not the impotence, but if you were in a great relationship with somebody, if this happened to me, Jenna, if we're in an amazing relationship, We love each other. And this happened to me. I would come to you if we loved each other and you would support me and we would
200%.
Find something to do. But if we're missing to begin with, if I'm cheating on you, if we haven't had sex, if blah, 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 I feel like I can't come to you and I did it to myself. And that's what happened to Bill.
Yeah, because he's struggling in both relationships.
Absolutely.
200%. I love it. And then after that, we see, which is really interesting, we see Flo, Miss Packer, who is owner of Calometric. She is like playing a big role in this episode, so I don't know if something's coming up later, but she comes in to see Austin, and she seems like she's trying to sleep with him in some way, or trying to make some move on him.
Hey, who's not?
I know, he's a ginger. God bless. Oh, God bless him. And then he makes a very vivid, you know, he makes a marked point to say that he's really trying to stay out of trouble, and he really wishes he could start clean, and that's what he's going to do. So we'll see. And then we go to Betty, who's telling Masters that they're being audited, right? And they're being audited, and they're getting charged $4,000 in taxes. And she said that it could be avoided if they put their clinic together as a nonprofit, but they would need a board of directors. And so he was like, well, I'm going to meet with Libby. We're going to go meet with these people. And she's like, wait a second. Is Virginia going? And she was like, no. And she puts Virginia in there immediately.
Which I have experience starting a nonprofit myself. In the 50s, it was very different. 50s, 60s was going to be very different from a couple years ago. But it takes a very long time to get IRS approval for a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And if they haven't started the process yet, it's insane that they're going to do it before this tax bill is due. It's going to take 18 months. I did mine. It took 6 months. And I remember going to my accountant and he was like, how did you get the approval in 6 months? He's like, it takes 2 years every time. And I'm like, well, is this a legit approval? He's like, yeah, run with it. Don't question it. Run with it. But he's like, every time it takes 2 years for an approval. I don't know how you got it this fast, but go with it. Knowing that, I think this underscores just how bad Bill is not in the medical realm. He's a great doctor, we know that. He's a crappy husband, a crappy friend, a crappy business person, a crappy relationship in the office
He's got karma stuffing right on top of him.
Yeah, and this is just another thing. He's a crappy business person. Mm-hmm. And when you have former hooker Betty, who's running the show for you now, and she knows more than you do about this. No offense to Betty, she's very smart.
Very smart.
She's not a business person in the same regard.
She's becoming a business person.
She'll get there. But it's like, Bill, dude, you are so over your head on everything except the one clinical thing that you do well.
True.
And this underscores that point. In the 60s and 50s, I'm sure it didn't take 2 years for a nonprofit, but it still underscores that point of how over his head Bill is with all this stuff. And then he kind of says, oh yeah, we need a board of directors.
Yeah.
Huh. Every hospital has a board of directors. You should have known something like that going in.
True. I agree.
I'm mad at him tonight.
Oh,
can you tell?
You fired up. I like it. Bobby with the edge tonight. And then we kind of flash to a sentimental moment with Lester, who is shooting a documentary for, he's shooting with Virginia and Dr. Masters. And he opens up about his father dying and he kind of needs to make a eulogy. And I think this just kind of, I think they had this moment just to highlight for the 10,000th time that Virginia has like that personal touch where she's like, oh my gosh, take as much time as you need. Why don't you practice your eulogy with us? You know, and just kind of she set the stone for him to open up later.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that was cool. And then we shoot to the dinner and we see Libby and Virginia at dinner with the potential board of directors and, you know, with Virginia there, which was helpful. And it was kind of like, it seemed to me that Virginia and Masters were just like totally simpatico. They were just bouncing off each other. She would start, he would start, he would start.
Not only that.
Yeah.
Libby had no idea they'd been audited and learns it at the dinner.
I know. I mean, I really feel for Libby. And I feel like she's going to start asking a lot more, you know, she starts this, you know, without getting too far ahead, you know, I just feel like she's going to start. I mean, it's just, it's wearing on her. And you can tell. I mean, last episode she was standing up for herself more. She was argumentative with Bill. I mean, we're seeing shades of Libby just getting so frustrated with this. We're seeing the tension build. And so we'll see how they choose to wrap up the season with that. And then we have Masters meets very early in the morning with Francis and his wife. And Francis, some reason, thinks that his infertility issues are due to his sickness, which is alcoholism. Weird, but Masters said that shouldn't impact it. And, you know, so they're having this meeting, and Masters is still trying to take some tests and pawn him off and get him to go. But he's, you know, he feels the rushness of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Which we learn later what actually happened. Spoiler alert, they may be related. But
had
now,
no idea, did not see that coming.
Now it makes sense, of course, why Bill's trying to kind of push him away. Go to this doctor, go get this test, go to this specialist, get away from me. Now we start to understand that at the end of the episode.
Absolutely. And then we see Masters and Virginia start to talk about male impotence. So that seems to be their focus of what they're working on. And
Punch for suckers.
I know.
Rum and cayenne pepper.
Penis pumps. They interview Betty, and she talks about a punch for suckers, which is rum and cayenne pepper, which is hilarious because I have read so many books on this issue myself, and I'm not a urologist, and that's exactly where you would go to get more information on this. But I was reading in this book called Penis Power that urologists are like, I can't tell you how mental this is. If you think you're a stallion in bed, you will perform like a stallion. If you have issues and you worry and you block this, you will be blocked and you will suck in bed. And so it is important to keep a high level of confidence. So that placebo effect, that punch for suckers, I mean, the placebo effect really works. Oh, you've got a solution for this? And it's like, absolutely, here you go. And and that worked. And so I wish they would have never told Masters that it was punch for suckers, but because it looked like he was about to pour himself some rum. But that's exactly what it is. That's the same answer they have. It's funny because you can see now that they've pushed the story along, they're probably in the early 60s. Okay. And Virginia's hair is starting to get a bump, you know, and she's starting to change a little bit. They've changed subtly, have started to change up her style. And, it's just crazy that from the 60s to today, we've got the same answer. It's a mental block. So guys out there that are struggling, it's all in your head. Really. So.
And no pun intended, right? And struggling. You finally got that one. And struggling too. And this goes back to Bill again with the relationships that he does not have with Libby and Virginia. When Bill is cheating on his wife, having sex, doing these damaging things, mm-hmm. when it gets in his head, he doesn't have a partner who truly supports him. And I know Virginia does, but it's not in that traditional sense. And Libby wants to, but also doesn't support him.
Right.
So when this gets in his head and he can't get it up, not only does he not think he's a stallion or whatever it is, and he has the mental block, but there's no partner there for him who is going to give him the emotional and psychological support he actually needs to get it back. So he can think he's a stallion all day, but Libby's cold as ice, and there's a lot of reasons she should be.
Yeah.
And Virginia's cold in a lot of ways to him, and there's a lot of reasons she should be. So
she's trying to warm up. Like last episode.
He did it himself.
Last episode, we see her giving him a key, like, hey, I want to start this up again.
Yeah.
And we see Virginia this episode her trying to kind of keep him engaged, and he's not, what I think, and this is just an early prediction, is that it's going to take her telling him she loves him or cares about him in some way, because I think the impotence started exactly when he saw Shelley a year ago. And so it's like he lost his mojo that day.
Yeah.
And so he's going to need Virginia to care about him and to tell him that to get it back up. So we'll see. Then we see Lib ask for a donation from Flo, who refers to herself as a big fish in a puddle, which was hilarious. And, you know, her just fighting and fighting on Bill's behalf, too, to get donations and to make him look good, you know?
It's a status thing for Libby. We've talked about that a lot before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a status thing for
totally.
Her.
Totally. And then we see Virginia, who actually locates and finds Barbara at lunch, like where she works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And finds her and kind of discusses her application with her. And I'm like, Virginia just going above and beyond and definitely crossing boundaries for, you know, for work, but this study is like taken over her and Bill's life. So she gets her to kind of open up, and then it kind of stops. And then we see Masters talking to Lester without Virginia. And then we see, which is really weird, because during that time when she's talking to Barbara, we see Masters talking to Lester, and Lester's talking about his issue, and Barbara's talking about her issue. And it kind of goes back and forth, and they finish each other's sentences in a way. And it's like they just struggle with the same thing. And so that was interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't know quite what to make of Barbara's story. I mean, I do in a lot of ways, but I'm just sad we didn't see Doug Greathouse.
I know, we're so close. So close, yet so far.
That's my guy.
I know, and this episode was all about impotence, so I'm sorry
Whoa.
To let you down.
Whoa.
Oh, oh, oh.
Whoa, easy. Easy on Doug, okay? Whoa.
And so Barbara admits to having vaginismus, which is a very serious issue, but another one for women that is all in your head. Many women are so tightly closed, and it is in your head. It is the anxiety. It is the fear. It is not the self-confidence, where you just got to let that love in, ladies. You got to check into your hot phase and never check out. I'm on a roll tonight, and I'm sorry. But, you know.
Preach on, sister.
Hoping to check into that hot phase and never check out. Okay.
It's getting hot in here. Woo.
It sure is. We are bringing it tonight. And so then we see Libby leaving the office where she had just asked for the donation, and she almost gets hit and by a truck of wild men driving, a white men. And as she's leaving, she sees that she hears a scream, and it sounds like they have hit somebody. And so she saw the men, and she saw the person. She just drove by, didn't stop. And later that night, she's discussing with Masters about what she saw, and she's reading it in the paper, or reading it somewhere.
Yeah.
Was it already in the paper?
The
Maybe it was
paper.
A few days.
It was
oh, yeah,
evening
it was
paper.
Already in the
yeah.
evening paper. And she was just letting the casserole burn because she was so in tune with this. And so obviously we've got some foreshadowing for Robert, or, you know, just a distracted, heavy focus on issues, because she also sees Robert and they have a stare.
And not only that, but this, what we learn later with Congress of Racial Equality and what's been
yeah.
going on with this guy, Leonard Gilroy, excuse me, this is a obviously very overt civil rights racial issue. We've had a ton of racial relationships, issues, whatever on the show. We've talked about them a lot. Not as many specific kind of civil rights era classic racial problems. And
mm-hmm.
this was one. You drop CORE in here. CORE is a huge, obviously it was a huge equality group in the 50s and 60s. And you kind of start talking about not Martin Luther King. He was part of a different thing. But those kinds of people. You start
mm-hmm.
talking about that kind of activism. That's a new thing for them to drop in, and kind of a new wrinkle
yeah.
is, how does whitewashed white woman, totally sheltered Libby, get involved with this very overt race struggle, class struggle, civil rights issue on a grander scale? Not just the relationship with Coral
mm-hmm.
or Robert that she had in the past, but on a truly societal scale. And so I really like maybe where this story goes. And I know you're a proponent of this story going to bed with Libby and Robert.
I am a big fan and hopeful, very hopeful. Although I really think it's going to happen, and not too soon, hopefully before the season ends.
All right.
I just feel it, you know, like a huge thing, you know, body language when you're dating and when you're reading people is eye contact. contact and how much you keep it, and that prolonged eye contact, and the more I stare at you and keep that, is an indicator of, you know, where I'm going with my eyes.
Easy, man. I got a girlfriend, all right?
Okay. I was just using Bobby as an example.
You stay on that side of the table.
Okay, so then we see that Robert actually takes it a step further and comes to visit Libby. And so she is having some issues and is waiting for a technician at Sears, for Sears to come over and help her. And she's waiting for the technician, tells him just to come in because she's anticipating him. It's Robert. He comes in and asking for her help because he was like, you know I saw you. And we're having trouble getting an investigation started because only Negroes are, you know, have complained about this, and nobody, you know, if we had somebody white, you know, maybe they would help, you know, they would start it. And she says she doesn't see anything. She didn't see anything. Which I'm so torn because I don't know why she's being so resistant to helping him. I don't know if it's because Robert's involved or...
Do we know that she did see the license plate, though? That's the question.
She could actually... I feel like she could at least identify someone or validate that it happened.
Yeah, absolutely validate that it happened. And that's a good point. I'm just curious if they said that, oh, we have three letters of license plate or whatever it was. We need to see if anybody else saw it. We need white witnesses. Okay, I get all that. And I understand she's a white witness, whether Robert knows that she saw it or not. He just knows she was there. But she was walking through the street, didn't really expect it, and was kind of hurried away and was like, whoa, you know, watch out there. So I don't know if she would even be a reliable witness. Race aside, issue aside, just witness-wise, do we think she actually saw the license plate? That thing was speeding by her.
I think she could at least,
You know, I don't know if...
Maybe
if
she could at least validate that. I don't know.
That it happened, that she saw something.
And get something started.
Did she see a black guy in the back? Did she see a black guy in the thing? I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I know, obviously, we'll never know, and it's worthless to speculate. But from a purely witness standpoint, taking it completely out of the context of the situation with Robert and race, I just wonder if she'd be a good witness, considering she was sort of rushed out of the street from it. It kind of happened behind her, and then she had to, like, turn around and look real quick. I just don't know.
I think anything would help at this point for them. And then
and one white person's better than 50 black people in this regard, unfortunately.
It is so sad.
Yeah.
And so, and it was sad to see her kind of put it down. And then we shoot to Virginia and Masters at their hotel, and we're thinking something might happen. And so I'm wondering how Masters is going to keep hiding this secret that he's impotent, and he said that he has had too much to drink, and he's making excuses. And Virginia's, like, unbuttoning her blouse, and, you know, he's being resistant to trying, and... then all of a sudden they get a call at the door because he's working on call at the hotel so they can get a free room so they can continue their private work. And a man happens to have eaten himself to death, which totally reminded me of Seven.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it was just a really weird add-on. I don't know if that's going to come back later, but that guy just happened to be the, we find out later, the Calometric spokesperson. So.
Which is very interesting, of course, in and of itself.
Yeah, I was like, maybe that Flo didn't know his size, or...
Well, no, Flo definitely, I think, knew his size, and look at Flo's size. We know Calometric's a bunch of crap.
I know, but you know what's interesting is in the early 60s, they had Black Beauties, and speed was, like, a huge thing. So I'm like, maybe Calometric was just that, and helping some women help, not, I don't know.
It is pretty much, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we kind of shoot over. So Masters actually gets saved by the death, I guess, of this poor guy. And we shoot over to Barbara, who is going over to Virginia's house in the middle of the night. Okay, totally crossing some boundaries, but then Virginia's crossed some boundaries too. And to tell her about, because she couldn't recall the person she had lost her virginity to. She had somehow forgotten it. And we find out that she didn't forget it, but she had actually blocked and repressed the memory. And it happened to be her brother, which was so sad. And we, you know, hear about her mother and how, you know, like if God sees you, it will sicken him and it's a big sin. And how her mom actually walked in on her and her brother when they were at their spot because she was looking for them to go to dinner. And her mom, of course, never brought it up again, but just always looked at them with disgust because God had seen them. So, of course, that had made her vagina, you know, shrivel up and tighten up and not let anything else happen because she had this immense guilt and shame on her from her childhood, which, and I couldn't really, I don't know, you know, they talk about, we talk about sexuality a lot when, you know, brothers and sisters sometimes out of curiosity, end up dabbling in something, but not to say that's incestuous, but that was absolutely incestuous. But on some sort of spectrum, sometimes, you know, explore at a young age, much younger than when they were. But at that age, that's why sexuality is so important to talk to. So it's like, when they're young, at any age, they don't fool around mm-hmm. with each other, and that they're told that, you know, those parts are off limits, especially since they're family.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, with their age, it's completely off limits, you know, but that's why education is so important. But
there's not a lot of education going on when Barbara's growing up.
No, and so. That sucks. And so, and now she's just kind of shunned from, like, her family and just humiliated. And so, which inspires Virginia to go back to school because she really wants to help Barbara, but she can't. And so, and that's a bummer. And we see it goes right over to Calimetric. I don't know why this was, like, a theme in this show this time, but we see Dr. Langman, Austin, come in as their new spokesperson, which I honestly don't think could be a better spokesperson because he's so charming and great with ladies. So.
And he's fake, too. He's fake just like Calimetric.
Yeah, and I'm thinking
match
that,
made in heaven.
Yeah, I know. And I'm thinking that's now that it's just, like, come to me, like, light went off. That's probably why. Or maybe, I don't know. That makes me think maybe that was why Flo was trying to hit on him earlier to kind of maybe, you know, float the idea. Was floating the idea here to him earlier. But, I mean, she was so stuck on her last spokesperson before he died. I have no idea. But, anyways, I guess that's what brought those two together. And now he's a spokesman. And then we go to the ball. Was it the Veil Ball?
Mm-hmm. The Veil Prophet Ball.
The Veil Prophet Ball. And we see, you know, we see Libby and Bill and Virginia go as a, what is it, triumph or... I forgot what she called it, but as a threesome. And Libby kind of questions. She finally puts Bill, and she comes to kind of a like, come on, like, level with me.
Yeah.
You know, where do I fit? Because for years, it's been the study, and it's not me. And where do I fit in? And he goes, you're with me. As if that was, like, refreshing or, like,
as if that's
reassuring.
Enough
yeah.
for your identity. Your identity is tied to me.
And he also kind of flinched when he said it. He was just kind of like, you know, like, he kind of was like, in that moment, I feel like he even knew, like, I know that's not enough.
Not only that, but I think he flinched when he said it because he doesn't want to deal with it, which is why he's been avoiding it for years, mm-hmm. which is why he's been doing what he does. Because to deal with it, it's difficult. And to deal with it, you have to take the time, the emotion, you got to open up. He doesn't want to open up.
Yeah,
he can't open up. So it's like, why would I open up with her? Just be with me. Stop being dramatic. You're with me. This is obvious. Let's not do this. But Libby's, if she hasn't already, is going to reach the big breaking point very soon.
Yeah.
So Bill's going to have to deal with it. And if he doesn't deal with it, Robert's going to deal with it. Hey-o.
Oh, hey-o. Oh, I like that. And so that leads us right into Libby going to visit Robert. All right. All of a sudden, that, I think, preempts her to go see Robert for some reason. I don't know. I feel like the more she's realizing Bill's not there for her, the more she's going to maybe act out on her own and do her own thing. I don't know.
And she should, because Bill's been doing his own thing. So, Libby, get yours, girl.
Amen, girl. Get it, honey. Hashtag get it,
I don't know how the whole open marriage thing works. Kind of creeped me out a little bit. But
I know.
You get yours,
Libby. Do not resist. Yeah.
Oh. You get yours.
Get it, honey.
Let's just make sure the kid's taken care of. That's all
yes,
I'm saying.
Yes, both of them now that they have two kids. So Libby goes to see Robert and tells him she's willing to help, which I think is awesome. And it made me love her a little bit more. And I do love Libby. I mean, I feel so bad for her. I feel like she's just a product of everything that's happening to her. And especially in that time, I feel like she's, like, super powerless. So
that's
I get
the thing. Libby ran into a buzzsaw with Bill, with Virginia, with Bill and Virginia, with the hospitals, with everything. And Libby, who has lots of faults of her own and mm-hmm. frustrates the hell out of us at times, in spite of all that, ran into something that there is no way she can control and no way she can beat. And that sucks. And she doesn't know the entirety of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's learning it and has kind of learned it and is starting to learn more, she doesn't really probably know the entirety of what's going on, I don't think.
Yeah.
She's running into something she can't compete with.
Yeah.
So.
And she sees it.
When you do that, what do? You either give up. You mm-hmm. either fight and die in vain.
Or you act out.
Or you act out. And you start your own competition.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying that. And that's mm-hmm. maybe where Robert comes in. Or something else like that.
I can tell Robert wants it. I can tell with those eyes and that stare. I know exactly what's going to go down. And it's going to,
It's going to go down?
It's going to go down. And we're going to see it. And it's going to be exciting. I am looking forward to it.
I think I know what your prediction is going to be this week.
Yeah. pretty much. And so then we go to Virginia, who has given Barbara a doctor, a psychotherapist, a psychologist referral. And Barbara is stunned that she's been passed off and she's upset. And so she walks out upset, and Virginia had already made her an appointment. And Virginia, we see, ends up taking the doctor's appointment with her story, with Barbara's story. And I'm thinking she's going to go try to tell this doctor what's happening to try to give Barbara advice, which is just crazy. Like, but I mean, it's coming from a good place, but it's insane. Because where does Virginia, between two kids, the study, have time to, like, make up fake doctor's appointments?
Yeah.
You know? It's weird. It's a weird turn, but we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
And then we see in the very last scene,
can we get to one point before the last scene that I just want to talk about that we brushed by, but it's important. The idea of changing course on the study between data and just observing what happens to maybe a more psychological course like Virginia wants, mm-hmm. to maybe a more course of treatment like what Bill's talking to Lester about.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be an interesting idea to see where the study goes. Excuse me. They've been quantifying. They've been pulling a bunch of quantitative data. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are researchers, like Jen and I unfortunately have had to be in grad school, you've got this whole qualitative versus quantitative idea, and it's anecdotes and qualitative and non-numbers and stories and et cetera, and other things, mm-hmm. versus quantitative, which is the hard numbers. Bill is a quant guy.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia's more of a qual woman. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to now kind of mesh these things, and not only that, but give a psychological tint to it, give an anecdotal tint to this study.
Mm-hmm.
And what Bill said to Lester, beginning to explore the idea of intervention, changing the mission from just observation mm-hmm. to observing and healing, mm-hmm. which is an interesting dynamic that is going to continue on here. And I don't know what that means. I don't know how far they're going to go. I know what Virginia probably wants, but it's going to be interesting to see where, if this becomes more interviews. Think of Virginia interviewing Barbara in such depth about Barbara's sexual history.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a ton more interviews about anecdotal sexual history with every participant. Maybe we go deeper into these people. I don't know, but that's coming. Something like that is coming. It's going to be more qualitative, more interventionist, more seeking to heal, as opposed to just, hey, hit the stopwatch. When did they climax? It's more than that.
Yeah. Well, and I, on that note, also, one of my favorite scenes, I don't know, or not one of my favorites, but one I kind of like this scene, was while Lester was opening up to Masters, we see this position, this couple in a prolonged session of missionary sex.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to Bobby, and I was like, how insane would that be to watch people, like, really watch people have sex all day, like, in an observational observational way.
Jenna's dream job.
I know. Bobby's like, insane in a great way or a bad way? And I was like, in a spectacular way.
That's right, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I'm glad you gave out your Snapchat, Jenna. You're going to get a lot of good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Bring it. No. Our last scene is Francis tells Masters he's not going anywhere, and he kind of goes into this whole thing about how he was in plastic surgery, and even if you fix somebody's face, it doesn't fix them on the inside, and all of this.
You hear, like, that, Kim Kardashian? I'm sorry, go on.
And he, Kim Kardashian's 100% real.
Yeah, maybe like 58% real, but whatever.
No judgy. We're not in the judging business.
Oh, she flaunts it.
And so, anyways, we find out, big surprise, and I didn't see it coming, that Francis is actually Bill's brother, and that he wants his brother back and wants to rebuild a relationship. So poor Masters, last episode, gets hit with, like, his mother, popping up, and to find out that his wife has been deceiving him. Total betrayal. I feel like total grounds for divorce. Seeing his mom behind his back for a year, bringing their child around her, and then now his brother, it's like his whole past is haunting him, and he is just like, oh my God, when is it going to stop? And he's rejecting all of it. And
it's not going to stop. He deserves to be haunted. He deserves what he's getting. You get back what you put out. I'm not going to talk about,
like,
karma,
judging him,
and energy in the world. Yeah, I'm
judging.
I'm crapping on him today.
I feel like the need to defend him for some reason.
Absolutely
I don't know.
Not. Absolutely not.
I just love him, kind of. He's just such a weird guy. I don't know. He reminds me of my dad. My dad's kind of a social onion like that. My dad's never done any of that stuff, but he is kind of like socially awkward. I don't know how I came out. So I was socially just gonna say, perfect.
How did you turn out? Yeah.
I don't know.
Perfect's one way to describe you, Jenna.
I'm like the only one that can handle my dad because he's so weird. I love him and his weirdness, though. I love weird, awkward people. So that was our show. I just want to say for news and gossip, for a few people that didn't know, I didn't know myself that, Masters is dating Sarah Silverman. Didn't see that coming.
In real life.
In real life. Course. They're dating in real life. And, she gave a shout out to him on, at the Emmys because she won an Emmy and for like a variety skit or something like that.
So no more Sarah Silverman and Jimmy Kimmel, huh?
Yeah, that's finally over. And
that's weird. No offense to Sarah Silverman. Funny. Honestly, pretty good actor on this series. I can't really imagine her dating anybody. She's just kind of strange. Know, she's not ugly. She's not gross. Yeah. She's just like so unique looking.
Yeah, she was like, we're all molecules out here floating in outer space or something. It was strange, but you know, again, social onions. So I don't know.
Hey, good for her.
Yeah. Get it, honey? And somebody criticized, actually, Michael Sheen on Twitter about dating her. And he goes, I can see by your sarcasm, by your amount of sarcasm that you have the right to judge the woman I love. And he totally stood up for her. And then it was like a Twitter war. So I
nothing
just
like getting a Twitter war with a nobody.
I know. And she had like 3 followers. I was like,
don't waste
like,
the time.
She's like, I think I upset Michael Sheen. She's got like 80 tweets in like 3 followers. But that's okay because everyone deserves their place in Twitter and I love it. Everyone of them and all their weird things that they have to say. And then also for anyone that does not know, Masters of Sex got renewed for season 3 so they can stop, you know, jerking. You know, I know sometimes if the writers don't know where the season's
stop
going.
Stop jerking what, Jenna?
They can stop jerking along the plot line. Like, okay. I feel like they did a little premature ejaculation with last episode. And then they like had some little impotence this episode. And so it's like, where are we going? Are we speeding up? Are we going to do another premature, you know, next time? Or I feel like we stalled a little bit this time. I don't know. I don't know where it's going. But anyways, those are just some tidbits. And then I think we'll get to predictions.
Let's do it.
Bobby, what do you think? What is your call out? Are we going to see Doug Greyhounds? What do you think?
We're not going to see Doug Greathouse. I don't see a situation in which we will. Maybe if Barbara keeps coming up, maybe something's going on with her and Doug or whatever.
I know. So she was basically saying that they had sex anally, right?
Yeah.
Because the other, which is funny, kind of a little bit, because that hole is quite tight too. So you'd think if she got used to.
Is it, Jenna?
Oh. Well, I'm just saying. I've heard.
You turned red real fast there. We're all adults here. We know. My prediction on this will be, where do I go? I don't want to take your Libby prediction with Robert, but it is looking really good.
Thank you.
I will
really
predict,
good at picking up vibes.
Yeah, something like that. I will predict with... This is tough. Do your prediction. Let me think for a second.
Definitely see a prediction with one of my big predictions is that I think that Virginia is going to have to open up and emotionally get closer to Bill, and then she's going to like be a penis whisperer and get his penis working again. Like I think that's going to be the big ta-da at the end of the season. It's like, oh my god, his penis works and they're in love and they've said it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a huge prediction.
I'm sorry. It just...
Okay.
Premature. I just ejaculated all over.
Then I'll predict opposing that.
Okay.
Because
opposing? Jeez.
In a small way, because of something Virginia said today. Virginia talked about going back to school, accelerated program, and Bill was like, no, it's 4 years, 3 more years of grad school,
yeah,
hundreds of hours
like,
of practice.
Yeah, he was like, I'm losing you, no.
I think it's more than the losing. I think Bill fancies himself as the alpha male and the top dog in a lot of ways, especially with women, not necessarily with men, but I think especially with women, he's like the top dog who controls Virginia, controls Libby, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if Virginia keeps trying to better herself, Bill will keep pulling her back and pulling her back and pulling her back, and that will create strain because as much as Virginia does love Bill, as much as he enjoys the sex, blah, 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 Virginia is career focused and singular focused on her goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the more she's singular focused, the more Bill will try to pull her in, and the more he pulls her in, the more she's going to pull away. And Bill may end up losing Libby and Virginia.
Oh, no, negative ghostwriter. But I appreciate your effort. I just remember seeing him last episode. He was like, you know, they were in their hotel room, and he's like, I will kiss you on the mouth. And it's like he's forcing her to buy into him, you know, and he's like, I will kiss your mouth, and I will make you feel all these pleasures, and I will make you orgasm multiple times. And he sure did with his mouth. But I'm just saying, like, I just feel like they're going to have to come together.
No pun intended and pun intended.
Anyway, so I think that I Love You is going to be the big ta-da. And okay. Then, you know, with the season three, I think we'll see Libby and him finally divorce maybe at the beginning of season three and see them together. Because as writers, they don't know, like, is season two going to be our last season? So I can see them trying to jam-pack a lot in without knowing. And so very interesting. And obviously, we'll definitely see Libby and Robert having some loving. And I can't wait to see her have, like, some crazy sex. Like, some passionate, like, someone's present with you. You both are in your hot phase. Everybody feels really great. I'm fired up. I can't wait.
I want to know more about this hot phase I'm supposed to be in.
Yeah, your hot phase. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. Please let us know your comments on YouTube, Twitter, iTunes, everything you say. We really appreciate everyone reads it. Certainly does us justice. Bobby, where can they find you?
On Twitter, at Bobby DeMuro. Also on Snapchat. If you got Snapchat, add me. At Bobby DeMuro.
Awesome. And I'm going to try the Snapchat this tonight, actually. I'm going to Snapchat Brulee. And I am on Twitter at JennaTimeTweets. Thank you guys all for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.